up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello, and thanks for joining me for this week's episode of New Horizons. New Horizons is the weekly radio program from Blind Citizens Australia. Blind Citizens Australia is the peak body for people who are blind or vision impaired in Australia. It seeks for empowerment of blind and vision impaired people, as well as equality and accessible services that meet the needs of blind and vision impaired people, no matter where they are or what they're doing in Australia. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company on this week's program. A few weeks ago, I was in Sydney for the Roundtable on Information Access for People with a Print Disability. It was a very interesting conference, and one of the things they did at the Roundtable was to have an exhibition of technology providers. There were quite a number of providers there, some of whom we'll be speaking to in the coming weeks. Among them, though, was Sam Taylor from Pacific Vision. Sam's been with Pacific Vision now for a bit over 2 years. I spoke to him about some of the newer technology that's coming out and what Pacific Vision's been up to. Sam, welcome back.
Thanks, Vaughan. Great to have a chat.
Last year, we spoke to you just prior to the shipping of the BrailleSense Polaris. How's that going?
Doesn't seem that long ago, but things are going exceptionally well. There's been a lot of water under the bridge since then, a lot of software updates, and a lot of travelling around both Australia and New Zealand. Things are going really well. Thanks.
What are people saying about it?
So, people are liking the fact that you've got that conventional feel of the note-taker applications partnered with the Android side of things. So what it means is that people can quickly create word processor documents and then flip through to Google Docs or Google Slides or use the Polaris to, you know, take a quick picture of a document and have that read out. So it's really having the ease of use in one simple device.
One of the things that strikes me as being particularly key to the Polaris' success is the fact that, as you say, it's using the software that nearly everybody else is using. And it makes it easier from the point of view of a blind user to get troubleshooting or at least software support for the Android platform.
That's right. The ability to get that sort of support and also using apps that everyone else is using on the Android platform while having the conventional note-taking side of things that people may be familiar with from using a U2 previously. So it's great to have that marriage on a note-taker. And now we're just about to launch the smaller note-taker as well, so the Polaris's little brother, if you like, which is the Polaris Mini.
And I'm really excited about this one because for some years I've had the U2 Mini, which I've been really happy with. Tell us about the Polaris Mini.
So the Polaris Mini is a far slimmer product with some more cells. So it's a 20-cell unit as opposed to an 18, which is commonly found in smaller note takers. But all the hardware is virtually identical to that of the Mini. It's got the 13 megapixel camera. It's got the same processor and memory. We do have a micro SD card in the Mini, which is actually placed underneath the battery this time. It's operating on USB-C, both for storage and for charging the device. And runtime, you can expect around 12 to 15 hours of continuous use.
And the U2 Mini has somewhere in the vicinity of 9 hours, but you get two batteries. Will you get two batteries with the Mini, do you know, at this stage?
I haven't had that confirmed yet. Certainly, we're getting much more extensive runtime than before, but I've yet to find out whether that two battery thing is a standard.
I'm interested in the micro SD card idea. I do understand that making a smaller device means that you do have to make some compromises. Do you think that's a big deal as far as the end user is concerned?
I think the idea of the micro SD is going to be more of a storage boost than a peripheral device which constantly gets inserted and disconnected. People joke about dongle books, you know, things like the MacBook and the direction in which that's going. And I suppose the Polaris Mini, where that's concerned, is really no exception, running on USB-C. It's probably meant more for people who are on the road quite a bit, who are relying on iCloud and Dropbox and the cloud services. But the fact that you can still use USB is great, and it just means that if you do have an SD card for content, you will have to remove the battery periodically to have access to that.
But of course, there's nothing stopping you plugging it into your computer and transferring data.
Absolutely,
that
that's right. As you always could, you can still plug a cable directly to a PC or a Mac and transfer content from the internal, either from the internal drive or from the micro SD without removing it.
And the exciting thing too about USB is USB-C is that it allows the potential for things like fast charging. Is that something that's considered for the future?
Yeah, most definitely. That's definitely on the roadmap, and it's going to make things, you know, so much easier. So the people have got a juiced up battery all the time, and a lot quicker than they did before.
I've been using a MacBook Pro for some time, which has USB-C, and I've been really happy with the peripherals that I've been able to get for it. For example, docks and external hard drives, external battery packs to charge the computer. Will they all be usable on the Mini?
They will. So you'll be able to connect those to your USB-C port. I've been using a 12-inch MacBook for the duration of this conference while I've been note-taking as well, and it's been nice to be able to just transfer USB sticks between the two and use similar USB-C peripherals. And we also have the ability to do wireless charging as well on the Polaris Mini, and it's the battery itself that has that wireless charging contact.
Which is brilliant, because it means that if you do have a spare battery, you can just drop that onto your wireless charger while you're using the other battery.
That's right.
Wireless charging is something that I use every day now with my Android phone and also with my iPhone. I've got two wireless chargers next to my bed, believe it or not. And I've got one at my desk, and I tell you what, I wouldn't be without it now. It's absolutely terrific.
Great technology.
What else is happening in the world of Pacific Vision?
There's a lot of travel going on at the moment. After finishing up with Roundtable, I'm heading to Canberra, Adelaide, Cairns and Melbourne. We're launching the BuzzClip in Australia. It's similar technology, I suppose, to something like a Moen sensor or a mini guide. It's technology which it's an electronic travel aid, so it will vibrate. While you're using it as a secondary device, you'll still be using a cane or a guide dog to get around. But this actually clips on. It's a wearable, so it leaves a hand free. And you have a choice of a 1, 2, or 3 meter range, and it will let you know of obstacles that come into your path. It's a conical beam, basically letting you know of obstacles in the path and covering you from your ankles up to around about your forehead or just above.
And of course, the other advantage of devices such as that is that you can use them while you're sitting at a desk. If people come up to your desk to talk to you and you're not aware that they're there,
that's
you can
great
use them
technique.
For things like that.
Absolutely, yeah. You can tell when people are arriving. And I've even found that when I'm sitting on a train, for example, and I've got it clipped onto my shirt, you know, you can tell when people are coming past you. And just that level of information that you didn't have previously.
Mm. Also, one of the big things that I find for that type of electronic mobility aid is cueing your guide dog, especially if it's a new environment and you need to tell your dog to find the bin. If you can use a device like that to locate where the bin is, you can tell the dog in which direction to look.
Well, exactly. And it still can be taken off your clothing and used as a handheld as well. So you've got the best of both worlds there. You can be using it as a handheld device, or if you want to be walking through an airport and following somebody in a line, you can be hooking it onto your clothing and just seamlessly following that person.
And are they available at present?
They will be available, I dare say, by the time this interview goes out. So we're expecting end of May, early June, which is the same time we're expecting the Polaris Mini to launch officially as well.
Excellent. And anything else that's happening? Any other new products at the moment?
We are doing a lot more with the Smart Vision Premium, which I believe I probably mentioned last year. That, again, is our mobile phone with a tactile keypad, a very good GPS, and also scanning and reading technology built into the phone as well. The nice thing about that, too, is that because it's more than just a mobile phone, it is something which people are able to ask for through NDIS, just because of the extra features. It's not a phone first and foremost. It can be a GPS or a scanning and reader.
It sounds like a really good product, particularly for people who have difficulty using touch screens. Is that what you've been finding?
I have. For those who have used Nokia phones in the past, who haven't embraced an iPhone for whatever reason and still prefer to, you know, if they call IVRs like banks, for example, and they need to press 1 for sales, 2 for tech support, it means that they can do that instantly. But also from the perspective of the GPS, it allows you to browse offline. And it means that you could be sitting in your lounge room in Sydney or Brisbane and you could be looking at an area that you need to travel to in Perth or Adelaide, and it'll give you that offline browsing capability so that you could explore streets before you actually have to walk them.
And that's a great thing, because a lot of the GPS devices coming out at the moment aren't really letting you do that very much or very easily. So that's a real plus for that particular device. And I like the fact that it has the tactile keypad, because as you say, a lot of these telephone information systems, which 10 years ago, interestingly enough, were using speech recognition, are actually moving away from that.
Yeah, and it's getting quicker and quicker before a timeout as well. So it's really nice to have the option, I guess, if you want to to interact with the voice recognition systems in that way.
Mm, and particularly if you want to do something like pay your bill over the phone, where you've got to enter 16-digit credit number. Yeah, oh boy. Well, Sam, thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again next year.
It's been a pleasure, Vaughan. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sam Taylor there with Pacific Vision. If you'd like to know more, their website is www.pacificvision.com.au. And if you'd like to email Sam, you can email sam@pacificvision.com.au. Recently, there was a meeting held in Tasmania of Blind Citizens Australia members, and we were joined by the President of Blind Citizens Australia, John Simpson, as well as the CEO, Emma Bennison. At that meeting, the new Tasmanian branch of Blind Citizens Australia was launched. There were some 20 people there, and it was a very exciting occasion. We'll have more on that in future weeks as well. At that meeting, the President of Blind Citizens Australia, John Simpson, announced that the next BCA convention would be held next year in Hobart. And to my knowledge, this is the first time that a BCA convention has been held in Tasmania, and I think that will be a lot of fun for people in Tasmania who've never had the opportunity to attend a BCA convention before. And also, it would be great for a lot of other people, perhaps, who've never visited Tasmania before. Again, we'll be hearing more on that in the coming months. Don't forget that all-important audio description campaign. If you're keen to see audio description on Australian television, get in touch with the Office of the Minister for Communications. If you'd like to know more about what I'm talking about, have a look at last week's episode of New Horizons. If you're on the BCAL email list, then you will have received an email from BCA recently outlining exactly how you can get in touch with Mitch Fifield or at least his staff. If you're not on the BCAL email list, then I strongly urge you to get on it, because it's a really useful resource and a really good discussion list for all sorts of issues relating to blindness and vision impairment in Australia. That's it for this week's program, except to say that if you'd like to get in touch with Blind Citizens Australia, you can do so by having a look at www.bca.org.au. You can get in touch by phone by calling 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660, or you can email bca@bca.org.au. We're coming up to the end of the financial year, so I remind you that all donations made to Blind Citizens Australia over $2 are tax deductible. If you'd like to donate, there are a number of ways you can do so. The website will tell you more, or you could speak to one of the staff when you make contact by telephone. I'm Vaughan Bennison. I'll be back again next week. Until then, take care.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.